This is continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage. Continuous coverage.
In the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell from the Hidden Killers Podcast.
Hidden Killers Podcast.
It is. Let's go to the courtroom for today's segment number one in the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell.
Okay, we're back on the record on case CR 22-21-1624, State of Idaho versus Lori Noreen Vallow. The state is continuing to present its case in chief. Apologies for a delay there bringing the jurors in this morning. We were conducting a bit of court business before we got started with counsel. With that in mind, I'll note on the record the state is here with the prosecutors present. The defendant also is present with her attorneys. The jurors are all present and accounted for and properly seated, and I believe have all signed their juror affirmation for the day. Is that correct, Mr. Bailiff?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you again for your continuing service and continuing to adhere to that admonishment each day as we break. I believe at this point the state is prepared to call its next witness.
Your Honor, the state would call Nicole Heideman.
Very well.
Excellent, thank you.
All right, before we get started with testimony then, just a few points of clarification. First, this witness previously testified by my notes on April 24th, but we did have you placed under oath again today due to the lapse of time between then and now. And let me just inquire again, as I did the first time, in regards to the court's exclusionary order on viewing testimony. Since you were last here to testify, Agent Heideman, have you viewed or listened to or in any way observed any of the trial testimony that's taken place in the case?
I have not.
Okay. With that in mind then, Ms. Blake, if you'd like to inquire on direct, you may.
Thank you, Your Honor. Ms. Heideman, I know you've testified before, but can you please indicate where you are currently employed?
The Federal Bureau of Investigation.
How long have you been employed with them?
About 15 years.
What is your current title or position?
A tactical specialist.
Did you participate in the investigation regarding the whereabouts of J.J. Vallow and Tylee Ryan?
I did.
As part of your role in the investigation, did you review data and other documents recovered from cell phones and or iCloud accounts?
Yes.
Do you recall specifically looking at iCloud accounts of Lolly Time and Lori for Style?
Yes.
As part of your investigation or your role in the investigation, do you recall looking for portions of what was later termed the James and Elena story?
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about how that was recovered as far as what type of format you found that story in?
It was in a combination of emails, text messages, and notes.
With the emails, could you tell who they had been sent from and who they were sent to?
They were sent from and to the lollytime@gmail.com account.
Do you know who the text messages were sent from and either by and to whom?
They were sent from a 515 number that has been attributed to Chad Daybell to Lori's iCloud accounts.
And what about the notes? Where did you locate those?
Those were in the Lori for Style iCloud account. There was not any timestamp, dates, anything on the note, so I can't say necessarily where those came from.
Through your involvement in the investigation, did you determine who James and Elena were referring to in the story?
Yes.
And who was that?
James was an alias for Chad, and Elena an alias for Lori.
Did you learn of other aliases for Chad and Lori?
Yes.
And what were those?
Again, for Chad was Raphael, and Lily for Lori.
And you had gone through, was it time-consuming to piece this story together?
Yes.
Did you have to dig through a lot of phone data?
iCloud data.
The iCloud data?
Yes.
And in piecing it together, was there a reason that you were asked to do this or that you took on the role of piecing this story together?
Yes.
And what was that?
To organize it. It was in so many different places, so to put it together into one story was my task.
And did you, in fact, compile that at some point into one story?
Yes.
Did you put that into a PowerPoint presentation?
I did.
And if I were to show you what was purported to be an exhibit or a PowerPoint created by you, do you think you would recognize it in paper format?
I would.
Your Honor, I'm going to ask that the court, defense counsel, and the witness be handed State's Exhibit 184B. And do you recognize that?
I do.
And when you compiled that, was that the James and Elena story as you found it but pulled and put together into one readable format?
Yeah, it's copy and pasted from the iCloud, but from different portions of the iCloud accounts into one, yes.
And again, the story was located between Lolly Time and Lori for Style?
Correct.
And then it was compiled to this?
Yes.
Your Honor, I would move for the admission of State's Exhibit 184B.
Any objection?
Yes, Your Honor. I would object as to relevance. I would also like to voir dire an objection as to other possible reasons for objection.
All right, I'll allow some voir dire native objection, Mr. Thomas.
Thank you. When you reviewed this Lolly Time account and the Lori for Style account, how long were you involved in reviewing that?
How long did it take to put it all together?
I
don't remember. Honestly, okay. It was a few years ago.
And you've entitled it the James and Elena story. Did the James and Elena story, did that title ever show up in any of this?
No.
Okay. And you, it seems to be a rather long narrative. Is that right?
Yeah, rather long.
And so you cut and pasted things from different places in the Lori for Style and the lollytime at iCloud.com?
Yes.
Is that right? And
yes,
you pasted it together?
Yes.
Okay. So there's a possibility that some of this stuff is taken out of order the way that you put it together?
The titles in the emails were Story 1, Story 2. They were numbered, so I used that as my guide, at least for the emails. The text messages I did chronologically as they came through in text messages. The notes were, they didn't have any time or date stamp, so yes, those were in a little bit differently.
Okay. And you understand that Chad Daybell is an author?
Yes.
That he writes fiction?
I think he does. Does he do just fiction or?
I mean, both? He writes some fiction, right?
He does write, yes.
Okay. All right. And this is a fictional story?
I don't believe that.
You believe that this is a true story?
Yes.
Okay. And that's based on your review of the iCloud account?
It's based on attributing actual events to, or events in the story to actual events that happened in their lives.
Okay. But a lot of the events in here, you can't corroborate, right?
I think we're getting past voir dire as to the admission of the exhibit. I think we're getting into questions regarding some additional work done by this particular analyst.
Well, I'll allow a little bit of additional voir dire on this, but you need to get to the point of the objection, Mr. Thomas.
Sure. So this, you're saying that none of this is fantasy. It's all true, and this is an autobiography or something to that effect?
I can't say that. I mean, I wasn't there, so I can't say that none of it is fiction, but it is also based in fact.
Yes. Okay. So it's a mixture of fiction and fact?
Possibly.
Okay. Judge, I'm going to object on the basis that this witness is going to be testifying to things that are fiction and fact. She doesn't know the difference between the two, which is which, and she's going to possibly purport all of it to be fact and that there could be misleading to the jury.
All right, so there was that objection as well as relevance. Response from the state, Ms. Blake.
Thank you, Your Honor. This absolutely is relevant, as was demonstrated by that voir dire. At least portions of this appear to be based in fact. I think what the witness said is she believes that it to be a true story, or at least specific versions of that. The state can inquire further of the witness if the court has concerns about the admission right now. However, it appears that it would be admissible. It is evidence of underlying motive as well and should be allowed.
Very well. The court's considered this objection in the context of Rule 403. I'll note also on the record I have further considered objections on the exhibit outside of the presence of the jury yesterday. In terms of the proposed exhibit at this point, 184B, based on the responses of the witness and also considering additional foundation that was laid yesterday by Agent Hart, the court would find that the balancing of Rule 403 is overcome, that it would be more probative than prejudicial when considering Rule 403. I will, however, indicate that with the response of the witness, that nowhere in the text themselves is the title there, the James and Elena story. As I understand it, that's not a title that was found within the text, so the court would consider that part of the exhibit to be demonstrative and would like you to clarify, Ms. Blake, that part of it also. I would instruct the jurors to disregard as evidence the named title that apparently was provided by the witness, but as I understand it, the rest of the information comes from those accounts which were previously admitted into testimony, so I will allow for the admission of Exhibit 184B with an instruction to the jurors also that the title that has been provided for it is demonstrative and the rest of the exhibit may be considered as evidence by the jurors.
And, Your Honor, just to clarify for the record as well, the second slide says background. If the court would like that redacted or pulled out, the state does not have a problem with that. It's essentially information that was just placed into the record through testimony.
Okay. In terms of that slide also, I would just say that fall within the same category. That's demonstrative. That's not evidence. That was a title provided by the witness in the exhibit. We'll also provide an explicit jury instruction on demonstrative exhibits, further explaining that to the jurors before they deliberate so they understand how to consider this evidence. So I appreciate you bringing that to my concern as well. And with that, Ms. Blake, essentially any of those highlighted blue titles, I think, are just, they're demonstrative. And that's how we'll instruct that those are not to be considered as evidence, the highlighted blue titles, but the content may be considered by the jurors. So with that, Exhibit 184B then is admitted over the objection.
Thank you, Your Honor. You've already talked a little bit about this, but as you went through and you compiled the James and Elena story, did you also compare it to other information?
I did.
And as part of your role in the investigation, did you review additional things other than phone data or iCloud data?
Yes.
Did you also discuss the case with other investigators, agents, detectives, officers?
I did.
In looking through, and I think you've already said this, but you were trying to attribute or determine if there was correlation between things happening in real life and what you were seeing in the James and Elena story. Is that correct?
That's correct.
As part of that, did you end up finding something regarding when James and Elena met with what was corresponding with Lori and Chad?
I did.
What did you discover?
In the James and Elena story, it begins on October 26th, and there are multiple mentions of October 26th at a conference in St. George, Utah. There is evidence that shows that Chad Daybell was a speaker at a conference in St. George, Utah on October 26th. There is a photograph of Lori Vallow, Chad Daybell, Melanie Gibbs, and Zulema Pastenez in the iCloud account that was texted from Melanie Gibb to a group text days after this conference. And Melanie Gibb and others has mentioned that that was the first time that Chad and Lori had met.
So the James and Elena story specifically references James and Elena also meeting on October 26th.
Yes, and they were introduced by a friend, MG, in the story.
And, Your Honor, I had asked to be handed State's Exhibit 53A. It has already been admitted. I can have it showed to defense.
It can be published.
It can be published?
Yes. Well, I'm sorry, confirm with the defense and make sure it's what they believe it is that's admitted.
And when you talk about a photo being discovered, is this the photo you're referencing?
It is.
And this photo was taken from what you had discovered through the investigation to be Chad and Lori's first meeting?
Well, I don't know if it's the first meeting, but within those days, yes. His initial days.
During that October 26th conference?
Given the date that this was sent, I suggest that's when that would have happened.
Did you discover anything regarding searches completed by the character James and corresponding events with Chad?
Yes. In the James and Elena story, James Google searches Elena. Right about the same time that they first meet, and that is consistent with Chad Googling a Lori on October 26th of 2018.
And the only difference being in the story, it was a few days later than October 26th?
It was. I think it was a day or two later, yes.
But James searches Elena and Chad searches Lori?
Correct.
Did you notice anything regarding the mention of a novel?
Yes.
And what was that?
In the story, James mentions that he had authored a novel titled The Renewed Earth. Chad Daybell, as an author, it has a novel titled The Renewed Earth.
Did you discover anything about events attended later by James and Elena and then that corresponded with events attended by Chad and Lori?
Yes.
And what was that?
The next event would be in November 2018, around the 16th and 17th. They, again, in the story, attend a conference, this time in Arizona. There is also a corresponding Preparing People conference in Arizona on October 16th and 17th, again, where Chad's a speaker. There's They also have temple records that show that Chad and Lori both visited the temple on the same date or within the same minutes. They log into the temple. And in that same story, they talk about in this November trip that they attended the temple together. Additionally, there were statements in the story that said Lori invited her friends and other conference attendees to stay at her residence during that time frame. And her friends have, in statements made in interviews that I've read, have made statements that occurred, including Chad Daybell. And in the story, James was offered to stay at Elena's residence during the conference.
So both James and Chad traveled to a conference in November.
Correct.
And both James and Chad go to the temple with Lori and Elena.
Correct.
And that's reflected in temple records?
That's correct.
And it would have been around the same time that that James and Elena had gone to the temple in the story.
It says mid-November. I don't believe that one had specific dates like the first one does. It says mid-November, and in the Chad and Lori timeline, it's November 16th, 17th, so that would track with what's going on in James and Elena.
And then you also indicated Lori had invited friends to stay at her house.
Correct.
And Elena had invited friends to stay at her house.
Correct.
And Elena, James stays at the residence.
Yes.
And Chad stayed at Lori's residence.
Correct.
As you were going through this and you were finding these things, at that meeting in November in the story, was there also a description of intimate interactions between James and Elena?
There were.
Did you discover anything regard travel that Elena did that corresponded with travel Lori did?
Yes.
And what was that?
In April of 2019, it states that in the story that Elena visits James for the first time in Idaho. We have flight records, hotel, we have flight records and bank statements for Lori that indicate she flew from Arizona to Idaho in April of 2019 and stayed in a hotel.
Did you also review some of the messages contained in the iCloud account outside of the James and Elena?
Yes.
Did you also review a message from Chad indicating something about a trip to Rexburg?
Yes.
And so, again, Elena travels to James' hometown.
Correct.
Or the area of his hometown, and Lori traveled to Idaho Falls.
Correct.
And for those not from the area, do you know approximately how far Idaho Falls would be from the Rexburg-Salem area?
Roughly an hour and a half.
Could it be even shorter than that?
It could be shorter. I'm not
from You're not there. From that area either, right?
Roughly an hour.
Could it be even like a 30, 40-minute drive?
To her leading the witnesses to how far one place is to another.
That's sustained. It's leading.
So Lori and Elena travel around the same time?
Correct.
In that story, was there also some description of intimate interaction between James and Elena during that trip?
Yes.
Did you review anything regarding a podcast in the James and Elena story?
Yes.
And what was that?
There was a portion of a story that indicated that James travels to Arizona to participate in a podcast that Lori and her friends were a part of.
And did you discover anything regarding, did you indicate you discovered anything regarding Chad's travel?
Yes, there is a travel in January of 2019 that Chad travels to Arizona based on flight records. And there was a podcast posted online in January of 2019 that is I don't remember the exact title, but something along the lines of Chad Daybell participates in a podcast about his life and experiences with Lori and other podcast members.
And that would have been around the same time as described in the James and Elena story? Or the James...
That portion was in the notes section, if I recall correctly. And there was no date and time stamp on that to attribute to a certain time.
And during that, in the James and Elena story, during the time the podcast occurs, was there a description of intimate interaction between James and Elena?
Yes.
And again, as part of your investigation or your review of this data, you also looked at messages contained in the iCloud accounts?
Yes.
Did you look at messages that were between Chad and Lori?
Yes.
And Your Honor, if I may have just a moment.
You may.
And do you believe if you were shown those messages, you would recognize them?
Yes.
And, Your Honor, the iCloud accounts have already been admitted in their entirety. I intend to pull up a few of those through Cellbrite. And would ask permission to publish them.
All right. Has the defense been demonstrated what would be published?
I don't believe they've been shown the exact images. I did refer them to a report that contains those same messages in an extracted format. I have that in front of me that I can show them or have shown to them.
If they'd like to view those before publishing, I'll allow that, either to have counsel just walk over there and see what's on there before it's published, or if it's in a paper copy that can be delivered.
And, Your Honor, just prior to publishing, I understand there's an order from the court regarding the publishing of the James and Elena. I was going to ask that the witness be handed a copy of her report. I've just shown it to defense counsel. I was going to ask her to read just from the phone extractions a couple lines that would give context to the messages we're going to display. And I can have her indicate on the record what she's reading as far as date, time, who and from received.
All right. Any objection from the defense?
Just we renew the previous objections.
Very well. The court will overrule those previous objections based on the foundation laid, as the witness indicating this would correspond to actual events. So the court will allow this, which was previously admitted, I'll note also, in the form that's been suggested by the prosecutor.
And, Your Honor, just to clarify, it's my understanding State's Exhibit 184B was admitted?
It was.
And I just had the witness handed a document. Do you recognize that?
I do.
Is that a portion of a report that you created?
It is.
And if you go to the bottom of that, there is a timestamp, and there's an indication of a to and from. Could you read the timestamp and indicate to who the message was sent and who it was from?
The timestamp was August 9th, 2019 at 9:29:47 p.m. It is a text message from Chad to Lori.
And if you would just read the last two sentences of that.
He kissed her deeply as their breathing slowed. They entwined their bodies and held each other tightly before soon beginning another powerful round of pleasurable bonding.
And then, Your Honor, I'm asking now to display some of the messages that were recovered from those iCloud accounts.
They can be published.
Can you see that on the screen in front of you?
Yes.
And can you indicate to who and from that message was sent?
From, since these were recovered from the iCloud, from owner would be Lori's iCloud, to Bubby, which was attributed to Chad Daybell on, again, August 9th, 2019.
And was it close in time to that last message?
Yes, the last message was 9:29:47 p.m. and this is 9:36:03 p.m.
And can you read what the message says?
With the emojis?
Yes.
Okay. That is pretty incredible. Fire emoji, fire emoji, fire emoji, fire emoji. The fire is definitely burning. The memories. Hearts, hearts, hearts. I miss you way too much. You have to stop or I might explode.
And then if we go to the next message. Do you recognize this message?
Yes.
And can you indicate who it was sent from and who it was sent to?
Again, from owner would be Lori's iCloud account to the Bubby 515 number attributed to Chad.
And can you read that message into the record?
The intensity of each encounter in my mind. One greater than the last. Oh my. Fire emoji, fire emoji. Especially this last one. I've never loved you more. Heart emoji. It just keeps growing. Kiss emoji.
And then if we go to the next one. Can you indicate who this was sent from, who it was sent to, and then read it into the record?
It was sent from the Bubby 515 number attributed to Chad, to the iCloud's owner, Lori. I completely agree. We were definitely in new territory in your bedroom.
And then the next one. And can you indicate the date and time, who the sender was and who it was sent to?
From the 515 Bubby attributed to Chad to the iCloud owner, Lori.
And can you read into the record the message?
Elena's magic hand has gripped the storm, and they stare into each other's eyes, barely able to breathe as intense waves wash over them.
And then the next message. Can you indicate who the sender was, who it was sent to, and then read it into the record?
From the iCloud owner, Lori, to 515 Bubby attributed to Chad, the text content was, yes, she did.
Did that appear to be in response to the previous message from Chad?
It did.
And then I think there's some additional text in between, but if we skip down, I think it was line 1033. Can you indicate who that was sent from, who it was sent to, and the date?
From the Bubby 515 attributed to Chad to the iCloud owner attributed to Lori. The text says, I love you, Elena. What a wonderful chemistry we share. Fire emoji, fire emoji.
And then if you could read 1032, if you can actually indicate who it was sent from, who to, and then read it into the record.
From iCloud owner Lori to Bubby 515 number attributed to Chad. I love you more. That's so hot. I just need you now more than ever. I'm sorry. I just need you more than ever. Heart emoji, heart emoji.
And then line 1031, can you indicate who it's from, who it's to, and the date?
From the 515 Bubby number attributed to Chad to iCloud owner Lori. You are amazing. Please save that segment. I want to read it with you naked, then relive it all.
And in your review of those messages, did they appear to reference and correspond with the James and Elena, the characters?
They did.
Was there indication in there that the events in James and Elena were occurring in real life?
It appeared to, yes.
If I may have just a moment.
That wraps up segment number one of our coverage in today's courtroom action of the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell. There's more to come. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of it right here.
This is continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage. Continuous coverage.
In the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell from the Hidden Killers Podcast.
Hidden Killers Podcast.